Oh man, my mind's going crazy right now, so you're going to have to bear with me. But before we start, I want you to start, because I know you like to tell me how you feel. Kind of get that off your chest. And Chris, do you put that on the screen?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So everybody can see it. You guys at home, make sure you say this too. Okay? Do you have the Spanish one on the screen? Oh, this is awesome. Do you have the agape characteristics?
No.
Okay. Well, if you have the agape characteristics, we're going to go over those at some point in the teaching. I'm going to read those. I thought we had that somewhere in Dropbox. I'm not sure. Anyway, let's do it. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. ¿Y en español? Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Oh, give yourselves a hand. You know, if you don't have a copy of that, you should print it out, because it'll help you go through that, and pretty soon you'll know it just like the English. Today we're going to finish up long-suffering, fruit of the Spirit. I've already taught two teachings on it, so this long-suffering is a three-part teaching. And I will go over part of what I've done in the past just to refresh you, and then we'll close it out. But before I do that, I wanted to talk about some of the efforts that I'm doing, as well as some of the others in our area, to move the word. And they have to do with writing. Now, you all should be familiar with rbrc.us. That's our website. If you go to rbrc.us, you see two new books. They're beautiful pictures on the right side. You can click on those books, and it will take you to the Tate Publishing bookstore where you can purchase those. And the books are Super Christian Conqueror, which is a release and a revision of the book we wrote about 8 years ago. And then also the newest book, it's A New Christianity. And this book will change your life. They all will change your life. That's what they're there for. But A New Christianity handles doctrines that are cloudy in religious circles. In other words, you read it, you try to understand what these people out there are teaching, you just can't get it. Like, are you supposed to be teaching that we're going to go to the kingdom and we're getting people born again into the kingdom? Or is it born again into the church? Anyway, there's a slew of subjects like that. And I just take it, I show you what the Word says. I bet you never read about the parable of the sower and the seed like you're going to see in that book. You think you know what the parable of the sower and the seed means? If you don't understand how it fits with the kingdom of heaven, then you need to read that book. Because you'll stop talking about it like you think you know that it applies to Christianity, and you'll start teaching it like it really does apply to the kingdom. And there's just so many more. But those aren't the only books that we're producing to move the Word. There's a series. Now, if you go to Tate Publishing, you're going to find all these things. There's a series of books that Robert Slaughter and I are writing, and Jaylene Utzinger, she is on our editing team. So there's three of us that are working, not around the clock, but quite a lot, nearly every day. We're producing a series of books to move the Word. These are books that normal people who would never visit a church would actually pick up. These are subjects that people who would never listen to you talk about Jesus Christ would pick up. And these are books that are designed to save the world. They're designed to move God's Word in a very, very unique way. And they handle just about every aspect of life. You want to learn about agape? You better be reading Beyond the Soul. But it's from a fantasy perspective. It's fantasy with a godly twist. I used to say Christian twist, but it's really not Christian. It's a godly twist. It puts God right in the center of everything. And it's amazing how it does it. The creativity that God is showing us so that we can do this, to me, it's brand new. I mean, I haven't found books like this before. And so we've already released our first novel. Second one's in production. Well, it's not in production yet, but it's there. We're waiting for them to say, yes, it's there. And so we are doing our best to move the word. If you want to reach people that you find you really can't talk to about God, give them a copy of Beyond the Soul and say there's six more. It's a series, and we're producing movies on these. So this is really a big deal. If you want to be part of a movement that has the potential to touch thousands, if not millions, of people's lives, I've just shown you how. And we're trying it all. We've done all the status quo stuff. We have fellowships. We write biblical research books. We have our meetings. We witness. We share the word. We do all the nice things that nice Christians do. But there's like the rest of the world out there. And we want to reach them. If you want to learn how to handle frustration, man, you ought to plan on reading book 3. And really, this is kind of what we're talking about today. Long-suffering, putting away anger, dealing with world-class situations, things that you find yourself in that are so difficult that they actually seem impossible. It's in there. You want to learn how to deal with sexual situations, challenges, crises in your own life. It's in there. You want to learn how to deal with relationships. You want to learn how to just live life to the fullest and serve God. It's all in there. It's amazing. I can't say enough about it. And the reason I'm so inspired is I just finished writing a chapter in one of our future books, and it's really about long suffering and how this prophet had to deal with this stuff in the bleakest of situations. The absolute worst of worst situations. It couldn't get any better, worse, and it does get worse. And he's the leader. And how he deals with that, what he had to do. He had to make decisions, just split-second decisions, or everybody would die. Now, if that's not real, I don't know what is. Now, hopefully you're not going to be in some situation where you're going to, like, almost die every day. I mean, we don't want that, but at the same time, what happens if you are and you put God first? Now, we don't call him God in it. We call him the deity. But that's okay. But you want to learn about Lucifer? You want to learn about the devil? It's in there. You want to learn about the contrast between evil and good? It's in there. And don't tell me that you don't agree with fantasy. Because what did God do when he turned a staff into a snake? What did God do when all of a sudden the river was blood? Crazy stuff. Why can't he tell us what to write? I'm just so excited because I really believe that your heart, but other people's hearts, can be touched in an enormous way and bring their minds back to God through this kind of creativity that God inspires. It's just amazing to me. It's so amazing. Are you bored in life? Are you bored with the same old? Well, there's no reason to be, because you actually have the ability to change, to make your own choices, and to liven things up, and to ask God and say, well, what can I do? I'm tired of getting up and doing the same thing. I want difference in my life, spiritual difference, things that really make a difference. That's what I want in my life. I want to know that I'm in control, and I want to know that God's word is first. And I want to know, and you can just add on and on and on to that. Well, if that's what you want, then why don't you try stepping outside of the nine dots, they call it, and into God's arms and let him feed you with what you really need to hear. Check it out. So if I were you, and I'm talking to y'all on the phone lines too, you should go buy some copies of these books and give them away if you have to. And there's electronic versions too. But they're a lot cheaper. They're like 10 bucks or something like that. And they can read them on Kindles and PDF files and whatever. But you can pass those out. But it will help you, and you can inspire people to start focusing on God. You know, you wonder, well, what's going to make a difference? If you walk up to somebody and say, you need to believe, you know, and you have this wooden billboard on your front and your back, and you're walking down the street like they used to do in the 20s or whenever they used to do that. Saved or be damned, and you know, get saved or be damned, or whatever they'd say on those things, you know. Well, you know it doesn't work. If you walk up to somebody and just grab them by the ears and say, you must believe, does that work? Would it work for you? No. Usually, when you work with a person, you start small, and you grow in that discussion. And their awareness broadens slowly over time. Well, I don't know what better way to do it than give them some books to read. Really interesting books. Things that have demons. Things that have deity. And don't tell me there's no such thing as a demon. And don't tell me there's no such thing as a deity. It's all real in a way. We just put color in it that makes it look really wild. But not just devilish and stupid and all that. Oh, I just can't wait till you get tapped into this. But go try to move the word that way and tell them that's what you're doing. I want you to learn about God, but in a real unique way. Well, that prophet was frustrated, and he had to manifest patience. And so we know, turn to Galatians chapter 5, we know about the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering. And in Galatians chapter 5, I am so excited about the potential here, guys. Wait till you see the movie of Beyond the Soul 1. It's going to blow you away. It's just going to blow you away. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Now, we've already done love and joy and peace. We're finishing long-suffering. What better thing to start next time than gentleness? Huh? Then goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. We're about halfway there. And so you're learning some fantastic truths regarding the fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering is one of them. Also, we know that long-suffering is that patience. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and one of the reasons I love this subject so much, and there's a couple others that fit into this as well, is that it is an agape characteristic. If I was going to be on a bandwagon, you know, in Japan, when it's voting season, you know what they do? They have these vans that have speakers that stick four ways, and they run down the street with these vans, and all they do is talk. I never understand what they're saying, but they're just, you know, just constant blasting of their candidates. It's sickening. I got to where I hated hearing it. You know, can you imagine being in a country where you're forced to listen to stuff on the loudspeakers? You can't even quiet your mind because of it. Well, they have the right to do that, I guess. Anyway. I like the fact that the agape characteristics are tied in to fruit of the Spirit. And I like to broadcast it. I think we should broadcast this. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says in verse 4, a charity suffereth long. And it's the same thing where you have that macrothumia, that patience. And so it's really huge. It's huge to learn how to manifest the fruit of the Spirit as well as agape. If you don't have agape in your life, if I was broadcasting this like they do in the Japanese, I would make my platform agape. That's what I would do. I wouldn't be interested in talking about anything else. I would just be interested in talking about agape. It covers salvation. It covers temptation. It covers the intrinsic moral values of Christianity. I mean, what else would you want? I would just make my platform agape. You can talk about anything you want. You can go and tell me all your great research projects, and that's wonderful. But if I had one platform, and I was in Japan with a microphone in my hand, driving in that van, those vans are just all over the place, like ants, and broadcasting all this stuff, it would be agape. That's all it would be. If it was one thing. And so, this fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, is absolutely tremendous. Well, if you haven't heard the first teaching, then you should go listen to it. It's on rbrc.us. But I say in there that the putting away of anger may indeed be one of life's greatest challenges. You have no right to behave in an angry manner as a way of life. It is wrong. It is not godly. And God says, don't do it. If you have the habitual expertise of being an angry person, and you just behave that way to anybody you want, thinking that you got the right to do it, you're wrong. Agape says, don't do it. And fruit of the Spirit says, if you have fruit of the Spirit, you won't do it. I don't know how much more clear it could get. The putting away of anger may indeed be one of life's greatest challenges. Knowing that God also exercises this ability can strengthen us greatly. God has to do it, so we have to do it. We've learned that God manifested long-suffering on your behalf, your entire life, prior to you becoming a Christian. You remember when I taught that? He just had long-suffering for you. He just watched you do every silly, silly thing you ever did. And some of them weren't silly. Some of them were bad. Some of them were really bad. We learned that God manifested long-suffering for nearly all of known time up until Christ. It's kind of like fantasy when you say, oh, I don't read fantasy. It's evil. You know, I would never do that. Just devilish. Now, some of it is. I'm not saying it's not. Ours isn't. And you look at this and you realize, well, wait a minute. If you got the deity and you've got, I'm not going to even tell you the name of our bad guy. You have to read the book to find out. But you got the bad guy. And they're at loggerheads. They're constantly fighting. And this whole situation constantly is developing through the series, intensifying. You can't say that that's not what's going on in the Bible too. And so, when you look at these things, like we learn that God manifested long-suffering for nearly all of known time up until Christ, that's real. It's just as real as God and the bad guy are at loggerheads. It's real. That's what I'm trying to say. It's real. And sometimes, maybe it's because we're shell-shocked because of this world. We live in this world and we're numb. We just walk around numb. Numb. No, that's not you. Numb. And we close our minds off. We'll sit there and watch TV, but we're numb to everything else. But there's a bad guy out there. No, numb. And we're just shell-shocked. We don't want to accept anything anymore. But I want to tell you something. It's true that God manifested long-suffering for nearly all of known time up until Christ. It's really true. And it's that same long suffering that you're supposed to have. That's really true. Don't do the, I don't get it. Just manifest it. It's choice. It's choice. I don't want to do it. I want to be numb. No. Choose. Be that way. No. Yes. No. Yes. Anyway, finally, you'll get to that place and you go, okay, I could be bad right now, but I'm going to be good. It's choice. I could yell and scream, or I could be good. It's real. We learned of a much shorter duration when he manifested it with Noah, when Noah built the ark. What was that, like 55 to 75 years or so? Okay, so we got all of time up until Christ. We've got all of your life up until you got born again. We've got all of Noah's time of building the ark. Great examples of long-suffering duration possibilities. Certainly, we can accept one of life's greatest challenges and strive to do the same. Now that's how I closed the first teaching. The second teaching, turn to Colossians chapter 1. I love the subject of long-suffering. It's always been the most interesting agape characteristic to me. The second one is usefulness. But the first one is the macrothumia, long-suffering. Always. It just always has. I have this picture of the Father standing on the hill, when the prodigal son, they call him, the boy that went off with all his inheritance and squandered it, is walking back home. He sees him a long way off in the distance. That's macro. I mean, the long way. That's how far away you put your anger. I just love that picture. And you know, the parable of the prodigal son really should be titled The Forgiving Father, because that's what it is. It's not about a prodigal son, that idiot! It's about the forgiving father. He forgave his son for squandering everything. The idiot! It's not about the prodigal son. It's about the forgiving father. And he sees this son a long, long way off. I can never get that image out of my head. Macrothumia, long suffering, is my most favorite agape characteristic, and that's why. The other one is usefulness, or it's kind. Charity is kind. And it means usefulness. That one just blows me away too. Well, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, that you might walk worthy, and this is the balanced walk. Now, we spent a lot of time on axios in the last teaching, and I really, really hope that you have a better feel for it now. Axios, it means a balance. And we talked about it out of Ephesians, but it shows up in the other epistles. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. This is choice, folks. It's all about choice. Being fruitful in every good work. Do you know in Ephesians it says we're called to good works? And here in Colossians, you know, Colossians is correction. They had problems in Colossae. I mean, serious problems. And so what's written here is say, look, you guys, you're off the word. Get back on the word. You're really off the word. I'm correcting you. And he says you're supposed to be fruitful in every good work. Why? Because Ephesians says you're called to good works. Ephesians was the doctrine. They weren't following it anymore. And increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Now you need to listen to that teaching to get all the depth of that verse, because I really tore it apart. It's just fantastic stuff. But we learned that we're supposed to have patience and long suffering with joyfulness in our lives. It is such a big deal. Do you ever have to deal with the bad guy in your life? Do you? The bad guy? When you do, is that real to you? I think so. I don't know. Sometimes I'm so much in shock, I just don't know anymore. But yeah. When the bad guy comes, I know the bad guy's there. Okay. This is just as real. It's just as real to choose to have patience and long suffering with joyfulness as it is to recognize that there's a bad guy. Spiritually speaking, right? We call him the devil, Satan. Indirect influences. And I said, this introduces us to the balance of good works and God's knowledge from a correction perspective. These folks needed to correct their walks because they had walked so far away from the truth. And I closed that teaching. So you got an earful of a balanced walk. The second part of long-suffering was all about applying it. It was all about balancing your walk between knowing that you should be that way and doing it. Both. You can't have one without the other. It's a waste of time. Turn to Colossians 3. And now I'd like to finish this teaching as you do your best to accept the fact that this is real. This is all real. Colossians 3 verse 12. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Oh my gosh, we could spend hours in that, but we'll just focus on long-suffering. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, long-suffering. Put it on. What does put it on mean? Put it on means choice. Put it on means do it. Nobody can do it for you. It means you do it. Will you want to do it all the time? No. No. No, you won't. In fact, when you're not doing it, you really won't want to do it. But he says, put it on. And that's telling you how bad these guys were acting in Colossae. They needed to be corrected. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Long-suffering is my most favorite agape characteristic. It comes up over and over and over as admonition to the church. In Timothy, leadership, chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. As a leader, when you teach, you must manifest long-suffering, but you also must teach. That's the doctrine. Fantastic principles. And when you're teaching, just remember that verse and say, long-suffering. It will be a nice check and balance for you. Hebrews chapter 6. This one's really great. Verse 12. Hebrews 6, verse 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The antithesis of a lack of patience is slothfulness. It is what forces you to not be patient. Slothfulness. It's like lazy. It's slogging through the mud. I mean, you're just slow. You're not anxious to do anything right about this. But we are to follow others who through faith and patience is long-suffering, inherit the promises. Do you know that promises means divine announcements or messages? It's kind of cool. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, we learn that Jesus Christ manifested this quality. Great examples I'm going to show you. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering. Jesus Christ did this for Paul. For a pattern to them. Well, it's like an example. Which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Isn't that remarkable? Paul manifested this quality, 2 Timothy chapter 3. You are not alone, folks. Long-suffering is my most favorite agape characteristic. I believe it's one of the most powerful ones at our disposal. Yes, it's all choice. Yes, it is behavior. Yes, it is challenging. Very difficult sometimes. But there's hardly a place to go in the New Testament to not read about it. Now that ought to tell you something. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. If only I could have met that man. Can you imagine what he was like? I know you read this and you might think, oh, I'm in shock. But I'm telling you, no, these are real things. He really was like that. Just like we're really supposed to be like that. Paul really was filled with long suffering and faith and charity. Oh, man. You know, I really enjoy what I do at work, and I strive to be as meticulous as possible. Our team does. And as we work and make everything just absolutely perfect, it reminds me of Paul. Because that's what he did. And we're supposed to follow in his footsteps. I love thinking that, man, those holes are perfect. I love thinking that job is going to be perfect. When the customer sees it, the customer is going to love it. Because of how we're supposed to strive with spiritual things. Can you imagine for a moment what Paul really was like? Why don't you try to be like him? Okay, don't try to be like Jesus Christ. Just try to be like Paul. Paul was like Jesus Christ. And so you'll get both of them done at once. If the other one's too hard for you, I guess. James chapter 5. Folks, I want you to feel this realness. I want you to come out of the shell shock. and really feel real about this stuff. James chapter 5, verse 10, the prophets manifested this quality. Take, my brethren, the prophets. This reminds me of the book I was just telling you about, The Prophet. Oh my gosh. Do you know that there are forces in the world that hate prophets? Hate. And do you know that that's real? Do you know that when you walk down the street at any given time, you potentially pass somebody that hates Christians? Hate. You want to be in shock? Or do you want to accept the reality of life and start dealing with the things? Well, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. And patience is long-suffering. There you have it, my friends. It doesn't get any clearer than that. The only thing you could do, if you would like, is to go back into the Artios teachings online and the audio teachings online at rbrc.us and study more about long-suffering. There's a lot of depth in there. There's a section in A New Christianity. I touch on it in Super Christian Conqueror. I talk about it in The Grace of Giving. It's just all over. I can never get away from it. I wish that I could go down every avenue of the world broadcasting agape. Wouldn't that be something? It is the most tremendous teaching in the Christian church because it covers everything. Everything. And I have written the Agape Code of Christian Conduct. I've never heard anybody call charity this, but In my little pea-picking brain, I believe that charity is the agape code of Christian conduct. I believe that. It's real to me. And here's what I try to do. I will show mercy and be slow to anger. When I think about that prophet, oh, you just got to get to this book. It's not available yet. But when you get there, you'll understand what it took for him to manifest patience in the most trying of situations. He was so frustrated. There are times when you will be. That's life. You still have to be a Christian. I will serve others without expecting anything in return. I will not provoke others in any way. I would rather live with 30-foot walls of stone around me than provoke somebody, because it's agape. And agape is the greatest lifestyle you could ever live. I will not be a braggart. I don't even want people to know what I do. It took everything in me to say what I'm doing just with the books. I'd rather you just find out. But I want you to be part of this. I want you to move the word in a unique way. But I will not be a braggart. Why? Because God makes me great. God makes me great. Nobody else does. I will strengthen others and will not become conceited with knowledge. And that's why I would love to be in one of those Japanese vans with the microphone. I will broadcast agape. They can broadcast every other thing in the world, but I'll broadcast agape. I will live so my life is never open to God's censure. Never. I will put others' needs above mine and help others become born again. I will be temperate, hopeful, and help others do good works and fellowship with other Christians. I will control my lust, tongue, and appetite. I will avoid all forms of evil. And that's another reason I love what we're doing in Beyond the Soul. I just love it. Because that is at the basis of success. I will delight in the truth. I will be patient in all things. And I will live by the agape code of Christian conduct forever. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. That is long-suffering. That is the essence of agape. And that is the launch pad for the start of your victorious life. Go live like you believe it's real.